Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
Welcome to Wheels Off, a show about the messy reality of the creative life. I'm Rhett Miller.
That's when it got wheels off. We started up and we ain't gonna stop. Us, I like you, like it or not. That's when it got wheels off.
Laura Stevenson gave me a really cool interview. What you're about to hear is a little bit different than a normal Wheels Off. People tend to usually come into this interview process, you know, kind of upbeat. Maybe they've got their sort of PR face on, whatever. Laura Stevenson, who's an indie rocker, of whom you may or may not have heard, you know, she's got a devoted cult following of people with excellent taste. She makes great music. Her most recent album is her sixth album. It's self-titled. She's really cool. She's a thoughtful, you know, musical. There's a lot going for her music. I really like it. I think she's great. I love her voice. I love her songwriting. But what she brought to the Wheels Off interview experience was kind of funny. It was a different take on this. She was really vulnerable and honest and self-effacing to a fault. You know, I think if she had a do-over, we might get a different version of Laura, because she admittedly, during the course of this interview, finds herself in a bit of a funk. And what it gives us is insight into that part of the process, which is very much a part of the process, right? These internally generated obstacles and externally generated obstacles. I mean, she released her newest album during the pandemic, in a world that's very distracted. There's a lot going on, right? And so, you know, those of us that put out albums, we realize that putting out an album in the midst of all this is pretty hard. And she has a one-year-old kid, which can make you feel very exhausted, like literally physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted. But it also sort of makes you look at things in a different way, and maybe you're worried about security in a way that you hadn't been before. All of this stuff combined to make for what I think is a really useful Wheels Off with Laura Stevenson, and I'm really glad that she was willing to go there. We talked after the fact about whether or not we should try and redo it, whether the interview was a little too dark. And it's not that dark. I mean, I'm building it up too much. But what you're going to hear is very real. And I think you'll appreciate that in the same way that I did. So please welcome to Wheels Off, ladies and gentlemen, Laura Stevenson. Welcome to Wheels Off, Laura Stevenson. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's very, very nice to meet you. Sort of. I mean, I guess I met you, but it was brief. This is like real.
It was inadequate.
Yeah.
It's isn't it funny that this is virtual and yet somehow more real?
Yeah.
For the edification of our listeners, where are you joining us from?
I am in the Hudson Valley, New York.
Nice.
Same as
me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if people knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was a secret.
My home office at an undisclosed location.
Perfect.
I see a couple of Christmas presents behind you.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting started. I'm like pretty much done wrapping, nice. Which is insane.
That's great. That's great. Usually it's midnight the night before for me.
Yeah. Well, I have shows coming up, and then I have to, like, as soon as my shows are over, I have to go down to Alexandria, Virginia to visit my mom because it's her birthday. Aww. And then I'm like back, and then it's Christmas Eve. So I had to do it all early.
Well, that's great though. Well, sweet. I'm so glad you joined me. This is great. This has been a long time coming. I've been wanting to do this properly, and it's exciting now. You've got all sorts of stuff happening, and but I wonder, what creative project are you working on at the moment, and how does it light you up?
Aside from rapping, which I'm getting really good at, I guess. I mean, I should be writing songs. That would be lighting me up, but I am really not, which is not lighting me up. I'm not currently lit up, I guess. Does that go against what the theme of this podcast?
No, that's part of it. That's okay.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Apparently the pandemic is not over, is what I just discovered.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That is true. So now I'm like, there's like maybe show cancellations coming up. And yeah, everything is still feeling bad. And somehow I should have had, you know, all my friends have had like very productive pandemics in terms of like writing.
Who are these people?
They all live in LA. Oh, typical. Because they got all the sunshine. I think it maybe helps. I don't know. Also, they don't have kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a baby March 2020. So my pandemic has just been full on baby, 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 baby. And so I've written 2 songs in this entire stretch.
I'm pretty much there with you. It's hard. And people keep shaming us, right? Because they're like, Shakespeare wrote whatever it was, you know, King Lear during a plague. I'm like, well, he was also Shakespeare.
Yeah. Did he have a 1-year-old? Probably not. So, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is like, there is so much that I want to write. And my husband got me an Airbnb for Christmas. So that's going to be in January, which I'm really excited about. But I fear that I'm going to get there and then just start cleaning it or something. Like, and cause like I find in all my downtime, I never have downtime cause I'm like cleaning or fucking just like doing all baby things. And I could be putting all those things aside cause it doesn't matter. The blocks are going to end up fucking everywhere anyway tomorrow. So why am I cleaning the blocks up? Why don't I just tuck away and just start writing, get a notebook and just start working on words at least. But I think it's the stress. So I'm really hoping I actually like, you know, unpack because there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I bet so. It's funny. You're kind of doing your own personal writer's retreat.
Yes. Yeah. And it'll be cool because it's like I've spent one night away from my family, and that was 2 weeks ago. My friend got me a hotel because he asked me to come down to the city and sing with his band. And so I was like very stressed about it. Because the shows were like, they were at Warsaw in Brooklyn. So like, it's bigger than I'm used to like smaller, you know, smaller shows, in the few that I've done in the past 2 years. So I was like stressed, and also I'm nursing my baby still. So like, you know, like being there for the morning and being there for nighttime, those are like the most important times. And so I had to like figure out how to do it. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. He offered me a hotel room. I'm going to stay. So I stayed in the hotel room in Long Island City by myself. It was great. And so I'm going to do that again for 3 nights in January. And hopefully I can actually, yeah, just like really relax and start focusing. It's hard to focus.
It is. But I do feel like that sometimes when you like intentionally prioritize yourself, like you're going to do, it's good because it lets yourself know, like, this is a job. I'm really good at this. And you can sit down and, you know, maybe it'll give, it's like giving yourself permission to not do all that other stuff, cleaning up.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. I hope it works out like that.
I hope so too.
Do you think you'll bring like a stack of, I remember I got a hotel room back when there were big record labels spending money, and brought a bunch of books and like, you know, I'm actually have some of them in my office still, you know, just like poetry books and inspirational stuff. And I just had them spread out and I was like, okay, now I'm here to write songs. So I'd pick one up and just open it and go, let's write about whatever, you know, maybe it would be good to give yourself some sort of artistic triggers, some sort of things that'll, I don't know.
Yeah. That's really smart. So I'm not just like spinning out of control, because that is probably what I'll end up doing. Just sitting there being like, holy shit, my life got turned on its head in the past 2 years. I don't even know where to start. So yeah, maybe if I have like a little framework to kind of organize myself, or just to like pinpoint kind of just to focus it. That is a really good idea. I'm going to do that. I got to pick out things that inspire me. I don't know what.
Yeah. Or maybe it's something that kind of speaks to maybe, I don't know. Listen, you didn't show up here today for me to give you tips.
No, I did.
I was supposed to pick your brain.
Oh, I want to pick yours.
No. So I wonder about this. Like you've done a lot. You've done a lot of recording and songwriting. And I wonder about when it all started for you. Like when you first knew that you were going to do this was there a moment when you knew that this was your dream? Was there a moment when you knew this was going to be your job? Was there an epiphany moment for you?
No, short answer. I was not a person that, I've talked about this before, I didn't really like have a vision of my future, not so much in like the normal way that kids are just like, whatever future, like they don't think about it. I just like didn't see myself growing old, kind of, you know what I mean? Like I just didn't see that for myself. I was a very sad person. I wrote songs because I was experiencing, you know, very intense depressions starting in my teens and then traveling into my 20s. And I'm like, I feel like after the postpartum, you know, like I feel like now is like, I have a very strong grip on it, which is very, very nice. But it took me, you know, I had to get a lot of tools over the years. So I think, just writing was just an outlet for me. And then I was pushed by my friends that were in bands, and by Mike, who I'm now married to, who was just like my friend, who was just like, you need to put these songs down. You need to make something like a record of it. So my first record's called A Record, because I was just like, that's just going to be my only record, right? And now it's very confusing at the merch table all the time. They're like, can I have a record? I'm like, which one? And they're like, no, A Record. I'm like, oh yeah. My second record, I didn't have a plan. Like nothing was planned. No record is ever like, I'm making a record until I'm making the record. So like the career has just been like, you know, somehow still going, even though I don't have a vision of like, and it's not my dream. I guess I don't have any dreams. Is this not what you want to hear?
No, this is interesting. This is great. Yeah.
Well, I like music, and it is like, it is a love of mine. And I think I've become good at songwriting because I'm like, you know, just like kind of pulling from different sources. But I don't know. Everything is always just like, am I doing this still? I guess here's another record and then record out.
It's funny. I've heard other people describe their jobs like this before. Like you'll hear, like models will often say, oh, I didn't want a model, but they just kept offering me so much money or something like that. And it's so with you, it's like, you're so good at music that you just have to do it, but you're not even really dying to do it. Is that right?
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm so good at it, but it's the thing that I am doing currently. And now like the idea of doing anything else is terrifying. Cause now I'm like 37. So like, I've really like, I've fucked up my life, I guess. I don't know. But the idea of anything else is very, very scary. Cause I'd have to start at square one, which is very scary. So I'm like, I'm doing music, and every record I write, I'm like, I love this record, you know, but I'm like, I'm never like putting songs together for another record. I'm just putting songs together and then another record happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think I think not having like a super clear picture of each step of your career, I don't think that's weird. I mean, that comes up a lot. I sort of work like that too. It's time to make a record. These are the songs you have.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, do you love it? Does it feel rewarding and cathartic and therapeutic? Or does it feel like a parlor trick that you just know how to do and keep doing?
No, it's rewarding in the creation process.
Yeah.
I think in the recording process, it loses some of its appeal. And then in the putting it out and giving it to people to critique or to ignore, that part really hurts. I think you're catching me also on a really bad day.
this is actually great. And I hope you don't mind being, it feels like you're sort of being vulnerable and honest to the point where you're saying things that aren't necessarily what people
that are career killing
supposed to say. Yeah, no, I don't think it's career killing. God, I hope not.
It'll be fine. Then I'll just be forced to do something else, which is scary, but maybe, you know, whatever. Everything's fine. I'm doing all right.
No, but listen, I totally know what you're saying too, because you're more in a phase where the world is, you know, taking in the things you've made and you're not like actively creating. So all the fun part is gone and it's only the hard part. And
yeah,
that feeling of being judged is terrible. I mean, here we are, we're artists, theoretically the most sensitive of all people, and yet our job requires the most being judged.
Yeah, the thickest skin, which is like, yeah, pretty silly. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Yeah. Also, like, this is kind of December is like end of year, you know, and I put out a record this year and like, I'm just not really seeing a response to it as the year comes to a close. So like I said to my husband the other day, I was just like, so this record was like nothing, right? And he was like, no. And I was like, but kind of. And he was like, you know, no. So I don't know. It's just like, but what do you expect? You know, do you expect it to be? I don't know. All reviews or whatever about me, I try not to read because it's all the same thing. It's like, people just saying like painfully underrated, don't know why it hasn't happened for her yet. You know, like there's all these people that are like coming out now that are huge that like, you know, are doing the same thing now. And she was doing this 10, 15 years ago and nobody cared. And that's like sad. And I'm like, I don't like, and people like tag me in these. And I'm like, I don't like reading this. Like, I know you wrote this and it's supposed to be flattering, but it like sucks, you know? So like, I don't know. I see a lot of that.
Boy,
is this too dark?
No, and it's great. And I hope you don't mind going there because I can really relate to all this stuff. I feel
okay.
There's a comedian friend of mine. I don't think he would mind me telling this story and attributing it to him. Paul Tompkins, who was on Mr. Show back in the day. And we were doing
fan. Yeah, yeah.
So he and I were doing a show, a variety show in Minnesota, and we were on the side of the stage and the other people were out doing the thing. And so he and I were watching and he said, you know, I just did a radio interview today. And the interviewer asked me this question and he felt like it was perfectly fine to ask me this question. He said, all these other people you came up with in Mr. Show have gone on to have really big careers and be super successful. How does it feel that you haven't? And he's like, in what world is that okay? You know, but that's how I feel, because my career has been somewhat the same. Like, I've got so many friends that are selling out Red Rocks or whatever. Well, one thing that comes up a lot, Laura, right, is comparison is the death of joy. Our life is the only life. This is all we can do. But so I wonder for you, and I really appreciate you being, you know, open and vulnerable about this stuff, because most people are always trying to present, you know, like some great perfect facade, and me included, myself included. So when you deal with this kind of darkness, with this kind of stuff, and maybe there's voices in your head, like there are for me and a lot of people I talk to about this, that are telling you to stop or telling you you're no good. I wonder what have you figured out? Like, what are your solutions? What tricks have you come up with to get through those internally generated obstacles?
Just trying to forget about it. It's really the only trick. But I do take solace in like the fact that like what I've made has impacted a small amount of people in a very important way. And that to me is what spurs me on, you know, as a creator of content. But like, you know what I mean? So like people that have come up to me and given, just told me very, very personal anecdotes about like specific songs or whatever, specific records that have gotten them through very specific times in their lives. And that to me is like so special and so important. And so that definitely like makes it worth it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I try to remember that.
So sure. I wonder, I know you were being facetious when you were fumbling around with the idea of creator of content or whatever, a little bit facetious, I'm imagining, but like, do you give yourself permission to think of yourself as an artist, or does that feel too like highfalutin?
I guess I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't. Which is, that's interesting.
Is it like a fear of, I deal with this too. And I wonder, like, is it a fear of pretension?
Maybe, or just, I don't know. I guess I'm so critical of everything that I make in hindsight that like, I feel like I haven't made anything that I could call art yet. Maybe I'm gonna try and keep trying. But yeah, I just am always trying to make something better. So I guess I couldn't call myself an artist. That's sad.
Wow. But you know that your music is great, right? And
really nice of you to say your music's great.
Oh, well, see, look. But look, I get what you're saying, because every year when the Grammys are on, I have a handful of people very close to me going, "You deserve a Grammy." And I'm like, that doesn't help.
Like, yeah.
I know that. But it's also not happening. So everybody just calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I think that if you feel like the world's not coming around, then like the challenge is to just keep making. And even if the world never comes around, at least, you know, you kept making better and better things and whatever. Maybe when I die, people will be like, "Oh, that was good."
Oh, jeez.
You know, in like 50 years, hopefully 100 years. I don't know. I never want to die because I'm like really afraid of dying. But like, you know, maybe it'll be one of those things like Judy Sills, like, "Oh, wow, she was incredible." You know what I mean? But whatever, she didn't really get the recognition in her lifetime. So maybe there's that. Or maybe whatever. Maybe I just need to keep trying.
Well, you've never, as far as I can tell, you've never done the thing where you try and calculate some maneuver to get commercial success that would be untrue to yourself or untrue to your vision of your work, right?
Yeah. But if given the opportunity, if like Roundup was like, "Hey, write us a hot new jingle and try to make the public trust us again," I'd be like, "Hey, how much pay in Roundup? I don't know. Let's talk." I don't know. No, I definitely like, you know, haven't, you know, written a pop album but I feel like everybody's doing that, and it's, everyone that I hear is good, but I just can't bring myself to do it. Cause it's, for me, I just feel like it'd be like, "Ugh, here we go." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, one refrain during these conversations is that when you make something that's calculated to like cash in, it almost always fails because people sniff it out.
Yeah.
That desperation. Yeah. Right. But look, I think there's something to be said for building a catalog that can withstand the test of time that you feel proud of. Though it's a little dismaying to hear that you don't think of your work as even good enough to be called art yet.
Not yet. Oh. Not yet, but maybe the next one I'll be like, "Now it's art." Now that's art. Yeah, we'll see. But if I'm given the time to write something adequate, maybe the next record I'll really be able to be like, feel like a real artist. But we'll see. We'll see.
God, I wonder if you will have a point when you come back to your earlier work and you recognize how good it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if do people, I don't know. I don't know how people like things that they've made. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's, it's hard to know. Like, we both know people that make bad music. That's inevitable. I mean, music you right. and I think is cheesy or terrible.
Yeah.
Or
objectively
whatever.
Bad. Yeah.
Objectively bad. And I don't think that they think they're making bad music, but I think they probably recognize that it's not as deep as other music.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And they're fine with that.
And they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yep, it's true.
What is this thing you call a bank? So it's funny how this, at the end of these, I like to try and get my my conversation partner to go back and kind of summarize a little bit of the wisdom. And it's an exercise that becomes more real once you have like little children of your own and the onus is on you to like raise them into mm-hmm. human beings. So I wonder for you, if you were to run into a 21-year-old version of Laura Stevenson, but working in today's world, you know, 16 years ago or whatever was a different world, right? Like there was no even iPhones.
Yeah.
But I wonder what advice you might give yourself.
21-year-old me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 21-year-old me now would be doing really well because I'm young, you know.
You're still young.
You're no, still I know, young. I know. But like 21, that's young.
It's a baby.
Yeah, I feel like what I was writing then would have been doing really well now. And I feel like, yeah. So I'd just be like, you're doing a good job. maybe I would say, don't be so critical of yourself, but I don't know if that would be useful because I feel like maybe that's just me trying to get better and better and better and try to finally be able to hang my hat on something. So I guess I'd just be like, do what you're doing right now because it's hot right now. don't hate yourself too much. Yeah. And maybe be a little less silly because I was very, very silly early in my career. And I would do like a lot of kicks while I played because I thought it was fun. maybe take it a little bit more seriously. And I guess don't be as critical, but still, I think, try to make something special. I don't know. That's not really good advice.
It's excellent advice. It's funny. I wonder, because I was pretty silly when I was young, too. Do you think that's like a defense mechanism?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. But I think, because I, you know, have always had like pretty low self-esteem. So if you're not doing something very, very seriously, then nobody could be like, that sucks. Cause like, you could be like, I know that's the whole thing. It's like, I suck. Yeah. So I was like truly very, very good. I mean, I came from ska. That was the scene I grew up in. I didn't skank. I will say I never skanked at shows. That's like the dancing that you do when you go to ska shows. But like I came from a very, very silly world of music. So I think that, and that was comfortable for me because it was all like, you know, the smart kids. There were smart kids in the punk scene too, but like, you know, the ska kids were like very, very nerdy. A lot of them were band geeks. So like, you know, it was just like, that was like a safe place for me to like be amongst people wearing Hawaiian shirts and stuff. That was fine. And I think I've brought that into like whatever kind of music that I play now. Still has the heart of a ska kid, which is comfortable for me. I think.
Ah, that's so sweet. Yeah, I wonder about that. When you're young, there's such a fear of being perceived as earnest.
Yeah.
And maybe it's okay to be earnest.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is. I still haven't ever. I mean, like, even like my husband is like, any moment that we have that's like a sweet moment, I have to do something like fucking stupid to like ruin it. Like, I'm just like, I'm like goofy to a fault, you know, which is like for sure defense mechanism. I can't like have a moment that is just pure, you know, sweetness and seriousness. It helps. But I think life's too short to be too serious. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it's okay to just be vulnerable and try to be okay with that.
Well, you've done an admirable job of that today. I really appreciate it. It's true. And it's funny, you know, even people that I've known for years and years, you know, I'll get them in front of a recording setup and it feels a little more PR-ish. And the whole idea behind me wanting to even do these conversations is I just want to talk about what it's like to do this weird job, because it's not like it's, you know, very encouraged by society. It's not like it's, you know, well compensated financially. We just keep doing it. And sometimes I wonder why. So why?
Are you asking me why?
I don't know. I wasn't going to, but then I realized like, yeah, maybe Laura knows.
Hypothetical. Laura does not know. I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, like, I think the thing that's funny is like, I can't wait to go and write songs. I cannot wait to go and write songs, despite like how, you know, it took me a really long time to put this record out. And then it kind of came out to like very, very little response, which was like sucked. But I think I was too busy to even care or notice, because my eggs have been in such like the baby basket right now. I'm just like focusing on like raising this child 24/7. So like, it didn't hurt that bad that nobody really cared. Cause like I wrote the record in 2018 and I put it out in 2021 and like, who cares? It's just kind of like on to the next thing. I do really, really just want to like get back to work. And like, I think that that's the only way that I have like a sense of true self, as opposed to just like, I'm a mom, I guess. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm in this house. I like want to get out of this house. And you know what I mean? Like the walls are closing in on me. So yeah, I just want to write. And then maybe eventually be on tour again in like a capacity that actually feels like, cause that's my favorite part, is like, you know, not playing the shows, but like being out, you know what I mean? Like the days are my favorite part of tour. I just really like the momentum. I like getting coffee in the morning. I like the drive and I like to load in, but the show is like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big performer. Like I love playing the songs. If I close my eyes and pretend nobody's watching, that part's fun. Cause I like playing music, but I really just like to be out, you know, in the world. The world obviously is not the same right now, but hopefully. And now like with the baby, it's like, I don't know what tour is gonna be when like tour becomes normal again, you know? Yeah. Right now I'm just so tethered to my house because I'm still breastfeeding and that's her only method of getting antibodies right now for COVID. So until she's vaccinated and whatever, life's just gonna be like a little turned on its head. But I don't know what I was expecting, even if it wasn't. Like, I didn't know what I would have been expecting in terms of touring as a mom. Like a lot of my friends are dads who tour at this small level.
Yeah.
Am I opening up a page?
No.
A book that you're ready to close?
No, it's good.
We'll be in our closing statements.
No, not at all. This is great.
Okay. I've had too much coffee. But yeah, a lot of my friends are dads and it's not a problem, but I think
they lean on their spouse.
Yeah. And they're, and like, you know, like regardless of how equal things have like become, still like motherhood is like a completely different, you know what I mean? Like, it's different. I don't know a lot of moms who tour at this level. I know moms who tour at a more luxurious level and it becomes easier, but like, you know, roughing it is not like something that is easy to do with kids on the road and mom being gone. It's tough.
David Wax Museum has always done it, but they're, I guess, both in the band, you know, mom and dad, and they bring the kids. And God, I remember years ago being on tour with Tori Amos, right? Actually, when we found out that Erica, my wife, was pregnant with our oldest, Max, we were out on this crazy long tour with Tori Amos, and she had her two-year-old on tour, and a nanny on tour, and the two-year-old had her own bay in the bus. But there was a funny moment when the two-year-old in an elevator in this giant venue turned to, she said some incredibly precocious things, this kid. At one point, she turned to one of the guitar techs and she goes, "You're ugly." Like, oh my God. And then she called someone else an arsehole. It was pretty great
British?
Stuff. Yeah.
Is this a British baby?
The dad
is Tori Amos British? No, she's American, right?
But the dad is. But and the kid is now in her 20s, so I don't feel bad telling stories about this. But it was pretty funny. It definitely made me think, like, oh yeah, kids who grow up on rock and roll tours are gonna be a little touched.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Which is, I don't know, my kid is, she's a little bit of a maniac already being home. I don't know what she'd be like on the road. But I mean, we'd probably just be in a lot of Red Roof Inns. Yeah. So she'd know the ins and outs of Red Roof. But yeah, I don't know. Well, my husband is in the band, but like he also has two other jobs, you know, and like because of COVID, he took on another job because I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Like, is music a thing? And he was like, I don't know. We just had a baby. Let me just like do this other thing. So he's doing two jobs. So I don't know if he could like, he wouldn't have the time to juggle, you know, being on the road, doing all of this stuff too, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Life just got like just a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. Sounds like a TV show tagline.
Exactly. So I don't know. We're going to see, but like, I am so excited to just like be in the car or in the van driving.
Yeah.
I feel really good. That's my favorite part.
Well, and I'll tell you this, it's come up numerous times in the last year about like the old 97s had happened to us too. People that have put out records during this, and it's just like dropping it into a black hole. Like the record never happened. You don't get to tour it. Nobody really heard it. And I get it, because we're going through a collective trauma. You know, it's like it's a terrible time to be going, look at me.
Right.
Which is all I've ever known how to do. So.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, but do you wait? But like, how long is this going to be going? So like, maybe this is the right time, you know, like, I don't know. We pushed it back. And mostly because of vinyl delays, we were just like, let's just like try to get ahead of it and put it out in August, 2021. And then it was delayed until October anyway. So who cares? But like, yeah, I feel like all of that too is just like, just makes things like not matter at all. So whatever, that one, you just got to eat it. And then maybe the next one, we'll see. Or maybe that's the last one.
But you know, I had a therapist tell me once that it's easy to come up with the what ifs that turn out bad, right? Like, what if this just is done? Nobody ever hears it. But what if you have a fan that's the director of a movie and they put it as the closing credit song? You just never know. So anyway, I think you're so great. And I really appreciate your honesty and openness in all of this. And I'm super excited to hear what you do for the next record, especially during this little songwriter's retreat you're taking by yourself.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
Thank you for having me. Sorry that I felt like the darkness was like really strong, but then coffee started kicking in and I felt like a little bit better. But in the beginning of this, the darkness was very strong and I'm sorry.
And that's okay. That's what it's all about. But I did love hearing you describe how excited you were to go in and make another record, because you do love it. You can say you don't love it, but you know. you showed your true colors, Laura.
I know. Whoops. I was just doing a bit. I like it, I guess.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's super exciting. And good luck with that kiddo.
Thanks. Thank you.
And I can't wait to see each other in real life again.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Here's to that. Someday. All right. Thanks, Laura.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Wheels Off. Please be sure to rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us appear higher in the search results and lets other folks know that it's a cool podcast to listen to. Also, as the kids say, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere else that you listen to shows like this so that you never miss an episode.
This has been Wheels Off, and I'm Rhett Miller, encouraging you to create every day. Thanks, y'all.
Osiris.
Hey, you. Did you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends, Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-d.com, soundtalentmedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.